Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 303 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
It's the three of us. It's Monday morning.
That's why the podcast is late.
That's why the podcast is late. I was so sick all last week, so my apologies if you tried to listen at 8 a.m. Monday morning, because this is when we're recording, because this is the earliest we could come in to the studio to record. So my apologies, but I am hyper. I'm ready to go.
And we're glad you're back.
Yes, I'm just so pumped.
It's always funny looking back at like the calendar from last week. It was like, okay, we have to do the podcast. Lindsay gets back on Tuesday. Let's do it on Tuesday so that we're ahead of the game. And then Lindsay goes, I'm coming in later than I originally intended. We're like, okay, not a problem. We'll do it on Wednesday. And then it was like, I feel sick. I'm going to the doctor. And then it was like, okay, no problem. We'll do it on Thursday. And it's like, I'm still sick. I'm not coming in. And
oh,
we're
my
like,
gosh.
Well, we're screwed.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. Viruses are not fun. Like, they stuck some things up my nose, down my throat. And I didn't have strep or the flu. And they were like, oh, well, I was like, oh, yay, those are good. Those seem like good things. They're like, no, well, now we can't treat you. So I was just sitting alone. I watched so much HGTV. I watched a whole season of I'm Sorry. I watched so much TV. And I was like, I hate it. I'm alone. And I'm not good at sitting still.
What is I'm Sorry?
It's a great show on Netflix. I highly recommend it. A friend recommended it to me. Never heard of it. But it's really good and really funny and just a fun show.
What is it about?
It's about a lady comedy writer, which I connect to on a spiritual level.
Okay.
Not that I write comedy or am funny, but
anybody who listens to this podcast can attest to that.
I don't know, but just how she reacted to things, just it made my soul complete.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd recommend it. It was good. Also last night, since I can admit now that we're recording on Monday morning, first ever women's tables, ladders, chair match, Asuka, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. I'm still real pumped about it.
Is that a wrestling thing?
It is.
I didn't understand any of those words in that order.
Yeah. Table. I know what a table is.
Yeah, I understood table.
And a ladder and a chair.
Yeah, first ever. Main event at the pay-per-view last night. It was excellent. Excellent, excellent. So congrats to Asuka. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched it yet. But it's great. It's great. First title. Anyway, let's go into facts because that's what people actually want to hear about and not
sure.
Me rambling. So, Michael, why don't you kick us off because you're smiling and I like your face.
All right. Well, we all know, obviously, what's the best Christmas movie ever?
Die Hard.
Thank you.
Yes. Depending on who you ask.
No.
Well, this
it's
is
not
where
it's not up for debate.
No, whether or not it's a Christmas movie, we've talked about that with Bruce Willis saying it's not, and the producer saying yes, and da 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 da.
Well, I'd like to point out when he said, the most recent time he said it, that it's not a Christmas movie, it was at a Comedy Central roast.
True. So he probably was joking.
So, yeah, so because he says it's not a Christmas movie, it's an effing Bruce Willis movie.
Fair.
Oh, and one of the things I actually realized researching my fact, it didn't come out during Christmas.
No?
It was a summer blockbuster.
Right.
Oh.
That just happened to take place during Christmas. So I thought that was interesting.
I would have guessed it was a December release.
I would have thought so, too. I don't think that changes whether or not it's a Christmas movie, personally.
Yeah, not at all.
So, but kind of going into it, this is according to a group called Streaming Observer.
Mm.
In how many U.S. states is it the most searched Christmas movie?
The Ooh. Most searched Christmas
yes.
movie in how many states?
Does it say where it's searched?
Yeah, I have actually have an infographic here of each state and favorite holiday movies
is
are.
Is it like a Google search or is it like on the interwebs?
It looks like it's a combination between Rotten Tomatoes top 50 Christmas movies.
Okay.
And Google Trends search.
Okay. That's reasonable. I guess if it's a bunch of people searching it, like in the Encyclopedia Britannica, there's not a whole lot of statistics on that.
Right.
True.
Or at least it's harder to get them.
I learned this weekend something that I feel like should have been obvious in the copious amounts of sourcing of Rotten Tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that the percentage was how many people just liked it or disliked it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was like a percentage rating, like... Well, wow, they got a 98 out of 100, like a score.
They have two ratings for each movie because they have the critics rating and then like the people's rating.
Yeah, right. No, I know that, but I didn't realize the percentage was just how many people liked it versus how many people disliked
those
it.
Those are the logos, right? It's the fresh or the splash.
I thought that if you got an average of less than 50%, then you
it
got
was a
the
splat.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that it was just that simple binary. I thought it was like a rating scale.
Okay.
Which, because I saw Spider-Man and the Rotten Tomatoes is out of control for that, because it's an excellent movie. Go see it.
The new one, Into the Spider-Verse?
Oh my gosh, okay. It was incredible.
Okay.
Anyway, I learned that about Rotten Tomatoes. I was mind blown. That has nothing to do with your fact, except that Die Hard has a pretty decent Rotten Tomatoes score. And I'm going to say that over half of states, it's the most searched Christmas movie, because why else would you be asking if it wasn't interesting?
Okay.
So I will say a solid 32. That is over half.
Okay.
I don't think it's, I don't know, it could be like 49, 48. It could be very, very high. It could be very low. But I think 32 is my answer.
Got it.
I'm going to say it's the number of states that are, it's slightly less than the number of states that are south of the southernmost point of Canada.
Okay.
So I'm going with 26.
26.
Yeah.
Callback.
The correct answer is actually four.
Four?
What?
Four.
Oh, man,
that
you
is,
fooled
that
us.
That is a wrong fact.
That
I am staring at the infographic, the four states.
I'm saying
states.
The people are wrong, not the data collection point.
Oh, gotcha.
They don't need to search it because they've watched it so many times.
That's true. You're right. That would be the explanation why.
And this is based on streaming as well. So, you know, this isn't counting the people that have the VHS or the DVD.
Okay. So but only four. What are the four states?
Washington.
Okay.
Missouri.
Okay.
Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And Virginia.
Okay. Huh. Washington, so all over where we are, but not
right.
quite exactly where we are.
So, but looking at this infographic's a little interesting. There's two states on here that I've seen that The Apartment. Has anybody heard of this movie?
No.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Nope.
Okay, so it looks like Alaska and New York. It's their favorite.
There's no rhyme or reason to which states are. Doing
well, like
what here?
There doesn't seem to be. Home Alone's a little all over the place.
So what's which movie is the most popular in the most states?
That's one of the things I'm looking at right here. I'm trying to figure that out. It looks like it might be.
You're just counting?
Yeah, I'm just counting right now.
How is that not the big bold letters on the side?
While he's counting, The Apartment was a 1960s movie. Jack Lemmon, Shirley MacLaine.
Okay.
Movie about a man who tries to move up in business by letting the executives of his company use his apartment for trysts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool movie day.
Yeah. Now, why that's a searched Christmas movie, I guess that takes place during Christmas time?
Maybe they learn a valuable lesson. Maybe there's some ghosts of present, past, and future. No, that's a different thing.
That's an entirely different movie altogether.
I love The Muppet Christmas Carol. That's up there for me for top Christmas movies.
I'm not seeing that anywhere here, by the way, on any single state.
Honestly, Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island.
Muppet Treasure Island
is one of my
a
favorites.
Top five movie of all time.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah.
When they get the Cabin Fever song on
yes.
the boat.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. It's
yeah.
great.
Best song in the whole show.
Okay.
We're on the same page. And we rarely agree about anything. So this, we know that this is fact.
Yes.
So at six
back
states.
To Michael. Okay.
Yeah. So at six states, I guess. Countrywide, the most popular Gremlins.
Okay, absolutely.
Is that a Christmas
that.
Movie?
It is.
Yeah,
takes
I didn't
place
think
during
it.
Christmas time. Yes.
Okay.
The whole premise of the movie is that the father goes to get a Christmas present for his son, and he comes home with Gizmo.
Oh.
That's the Christmas present.
Are Gremlins different than Furbies? Or are they the same thing?
Gremlins and Furbies are different things.
Okay. I had a Furby and I thought it was a Gremlin and I never saw the movie Gremlins because I didn't want to not love my Furby.
Okay. So Furbies are a toy.
Yeah. No, I know. I had
yeah.
a Furby.
Yeah,
and
recorded.
It was a
okay.
big, it's a big thing.
Gremlins
they creep
are these
me out.
Are these green reptile looking things that destroy a bunch of stuff?
I thought they were cute and fluffy and furry.
As long as you follow the rules.
That is a, I want to say it's a Mogwai. The Mogwai is the cute, furry, fluffy thing that he brings home as a pet, and he names Gizmo.
Uh-huh.
If you feed the Mogwai after midnight, if you get the Mogwai wet, then they turn into gremlins.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was a two separate species kind of thing. But again, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. So there
gremlins,
you go.
Rotten Tomatoes, I'm learning everything. So, Michael, does that conclude your factor?
Just one other thing that I found really interesting.
Okay.
California, Louisiana, and Florida, Batman Returns.
Huh.
Like, Batman Returns isn't even my favorite Batman movie.
Huh. Your list is very strange.
It is very strange.
And I need to take a closer look at it because I don't believe anything on it. But I believe that your fact was good.
All right, thank you.
Batman Returns also, yeah, he's running for mayor. Oswald Cobblepot, Danny DeVito, is running for mayor. That's Batman Returns, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No? Isn't it the second
Batman
Michael Keaton Batman?
Batman Returns, I thought, was the one that introduces Robin.
That would be Batman and Robin.
No, Batman and Robin introduces Batgirl.
Then there's Batman Forever. That's the...
maybe I'm thinking Batman Forever.
Batman Forever is the Tommy Lee Jones...
I know which one you're talking about, but I have no idea the names.
Yeah, no, you are right. It is with Danny DeVito. Batman Forever.
Batman Forever is the one that introduces...
It's Val
Dick
Kilmer
Grayson.
As Tommy Lee Jones. Yes, right. And it's, well, it's the Riddler and Two-Face.
We can go on and on about various Batman movies. Honestly, that would be just an entire podcast in and of itself of just Batman movies.
It's probably
at this
an entire
point.
Series.
Yeah. But
several, probably.
Yeah. I want to go into my fact.
Okay.
Shoot.
It is music related.
Okay.
I love lists of things that are the most of anything. So this list, well, it's not really even a list. It just is one.
I love just, lists. This isn't one of them.
This told me the most. This is the top of the list, and why do you need anything else? So
okay.
According to Universal Music Group, they calculated the world's most streamed song from the 20th century.
Okay.
So this is a song from the 20th century. It is, I don't think it's the most streamed song of all time. It's the most streamed song from the 20th century.
Okay.
And I would like to know that song. So what is the most streamed song from the 20th century? As of December 10th, 1.6 billion streams globally.
As of December 10th this year.
As of December 10th this year, 1.6 billion streams globally. I know I've listened to it since December 10th, so that number has gone up a little bit.
You've listened to it. Like,
that's not a hint.
Did you go searching for it?
No. It was just on my shuffle.
Okay.
That's not a helpful hint. It is not a Taylor Swift song.
Right. I was just saying it depends on how you want to look at that. Like if you went searching for it, like if there was a catalyst for you to go looking for it kind of
Actually,
thing.
You know what? I will give you that hint. There was kind of a little catalyst too. It came up in my streaming and I also went and searched it out.
Okay, so you did go and search it out.
Mm-hmm.
Is
Which I think
Hawley
that might
song?
Be an that might be an obvious hint.
So that's my absolute first guess would be the All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, that's great. That's
Mariah
a top
Carey,
holiday
yeah.
song for me.
Yeah, so I know that song has reached the top 10 in every year since it came out without ever reaching number 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's every year it goes back onto the Billboard 100.
Yeah.
So, Michael,
is that your guess? Are you locking it in?
No, I'm not going to lock it in because we said earlier before the podcast that your fact was not holiday related. So I'm going to discard that based on that previous information.
That's true. We did go through which facts we had, and I said mine was not holiday related. So fair. I'm throwing all the hints at you. Michael, you got to think
just
out loud.
Staring into space.
You got to think out
early.
Loud. It is
early.
It is an audio podcast, bud.
I'm working on it.
He's not quite awake yet.
No.
Anything?
I mean, I'm trying to. Here's the thing. So I'm trying to kind of logic my way through it.
Okay.
You know, kind of. I'm trying to. I got nothing. I really
you're
don't.
You're trying to logic. You're trying
Michael,
to find your way to logic.
Yes.
So you've listened to music.
I have.
And you've listened.
I listened to music. In fact, on my way into this morning.
Yeah. Okay. So. What are some of the most popular songs from the 1900s, the 20th century? I mean, that's a good place to start.
That is a very good place to start, especially if we're well, here's the thing. So if we're talking about streaming, I think you got to eliminate basically anything before, like, the 70s.
Okay. Well, no, it was the most – okay. So you think that the people doing the streaming would be listening to more contemporary music and
exactly.
therefore
– And therefore, so we're talking about something a little bit –
Right.
A little bit
Boogie
more.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy is not going to be at the top of
exactly.
the list.
Exactly. Huey
that
Lewis and the News.
The Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy
is not
most streamed.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just kidding.
Right. No, like Huey Lewis and the News is, you know what I mean? Hip to be Square is not probably it.
That's 80s, but sure, you can say it's from the 70s.
Same logic.
Sure. Is that the people doing the streaming are the ones listening to the music. Therefore, people who
at
are
least
looking
started
for
it,
music in the 70s and 80s are not heavily streaming their stuff.
Or at least just late enough to the game that this kind of group already had a head start.
Okay. I'm gonna
in number of streams.
I'm gonna say that it would have to be a big like movie song. So I'm gonna say it's like Armageddon.
Okay, there
like,
you go.
The Aerosmith Don't Wanna Miss a Thing would be the most streamed song from the 19th century
See,
the 20th century.
That's kind of where I was getting to. Because I was also thinking, okay, maybe it's like a movie theme or something like
what,
that.
What else would fit into those categories?
That's what I was trying to do when you guys were making fun of me for
right.
being silent. I'm trying to work through
I mean,
that myself.
You got to think songs for memes. Like, are there any, like, meme? Or what about just, like, Psy?
Did you say meme songs?
Yeah.
Like the hamster
what?
Dance?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the Nyan Cat.
Were
or,
memes around? This is, like, 1999 and below.
Oh, wait. It's the most...
20th century.
Wait, the most streamed songs in the 20th century?
No,
or the most streamed songs from? Right, so now... So people could go back and look at. I mean, weren't
right.
there like the first meme? I guess the first memes were 04, 05, 06, 07, yeah. 08.
Yeah. So you're looking 1999.
Hang on, I think I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
It's and I'm forgetting the name of it. Oh, I can't.
We needed to
where
get
you
some
get
coffee.
Where you get Rickrolled. Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna give you. There you go. Yes, that. That's what I want.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Never gonna give you up.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah, I agree with Michael. That has
Whoa.
To be it.
It is not it.
Okay.
It is not it. So I can give you another hint if you'd like.
Sure.
The original release date of this song was October 31st, 1975.
Oh, I was wrong.
Nick, your thinking in that it was a big movie song is correct. This is one of the most famous movie scene song related things, I would argue, in pop culture history. It currently had a resurgence with a new release movie this year.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. I knew that you would get it after yeah, that obvious hint.
It only took seven clues, but I got there eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's Joey went and saw the film. He said it was really good. And then I was like, oh, man, that is a good song. I want to listen to that. And
right.
So.
But, Michael, regardless of what the right answer is, I think our answer is better.
I think so, too.
It is Rickroll. Getting Rickrolled was a very, very popular thing way back in high school and back in the days. And still a popular thing now. Do people still do that? I would assume.
Yeah.
I would. It's
great. I think so.
If I had the copyright to it, I'd be playing it right now. I'm never going to give you up. Which, by the way, I think that's going to be the secret phrase. Never going to give you up.
Never going to give you up.
Yeah, we're going to Rickroll you with our secret phrase. Never going to give you up. That is your secret phrase. Never going to give you up.
Never going to give you up.
No, Michael, I'm never going to give you up, and you're going to say...
Oh, never going to let you down.
Yeah, okay. I thought we were on the same page there, but...
You gestured to me, and you usually have me back
you
up
do.
The...
You
usually have
it.
Me back up the secret phrase. Mostly, I think, just to make sure I'm paying attention.
Yeah, I usually do that, but I had high hopes for you, and you let me down this morning.
So I had me record this morning, so...
I know, it's
you
all my
me
fault.
You get me at 3 in the afternoon, I'm golden.
Blame the virus. Okay, so that was my secret fact phrase... The fact is not secret. The phrase is not secret, but never going to let you
secret.
Whatever, let you down. Okay, Nick, it is your turn for a fact.
All right, so.
Yours is holiday related.
Yeah. So Christmas is coming up.
Yes.
It is.
Also, by the way, we are not hosting trivia on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, New Year's Eve or Christmas Day. Those are
New
all.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Sorry, what did I say?
Christmas Day.
You said Christmas Day twice.
Yeah. New Year's Eve.
Christmas
New Year's
Eve,
Day.
Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Monday and Tuesday for the, I mean, tonight, it depends on when you're listening
no, not
to this
tonight.
Again.
Next
tonight
week.
And tomorrow are on.
Yes.
The next 2 weeks on Mondays and Tuesdays are off.
Correct.
So spend some time with your family, answer their inane questions.
Yes. Or, yeah, ask them. Okay. So, Nick, what do you got?
All right. So, there is a family, the Ford family of Tecumseh, Michigan.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. They are in possession of what is believed to be the world's oldest fruitcake.
The world's oldest fruitcake?
Do you guys like fruitcake?
No.
I don't know if
that
I've
is
ever
a legitimate
had
answer.
I don't
no?
know if I've ever had fruitcake.
Really?
Picture
like
Ron Burgundy with the teleprompter and the question mark. No, that's where I am
You're not
with
sure
it.
Whether
like,
or not you've had it?
I like fruit. I like cake, but I don't. I'm not wasting my time on non-chocolate cake, you know? Or pies.
I've had cake with fruit in it, but I don't think it was a fruit cake.
Okay.
Is there a difference?
Well, yeah. I mean, a fruit cake is a holiday. It's like little bits of dried fruit or candied fruit that are inside the fruit cake. In the United States, it's usually candied fruit. Sarah and I actually just had this discussion last night, hence, you know, the podcast.
Sure.
We're huge fans of the Great British Baking Show.
Mm-hmm.
So we watch that at night before we go to sleep. You should have watched that
I
while
know.
You were sick for a week.
I know. I just thought about it and I was like, I was looking for a show to watch. I ended up watching a lot of HGTV and I completely forgot about the Great British Baking Show and
yeah.
I am angry about it.
Totally worth
it. My head was not in the right space. It was cloudy. It was foggy.
So, anyway. But it's we are constantly looking at what they determine to be like good flavor profiles and good
oh.
like combinations of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's one episode where they do it's an American pie challenge. So they're all supposed to make American versions of these pies, And one of the judges, the main judge, Paul Hollywood, whenever he's eating, he's like, that's too sweet. And I'm like, obviously, you've never had an American pie. Like,
yeah.
You're just wrong. They combine chocolate with orange.
Yeah, like, that's so delicious.
They did a peanut butter and chocolate pie.
Mm. There you
and
go.
He's like, I don't think those flavors go together. And I'm like, you're just wrong. Right? Why would you combine chocolate with orange and go, that's right, and chocolate with peanut butter, and that's wrong?
I don't know. The chocolate orange.
The British.
Chocolate yes. orange are great. Oh, chocolate so, but great.
They,
I'm hungry.
They put dehydrated fruit in like everything, and that's something that Sarah and I just don't get.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't understand it. So.
Also, fruitcake, I feel like, in pop culture has become symbolic and become a joke of a terrible
right.
holiday gifts.
It has entered the zeitgeist as, oh, great, fruitcake.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's just I associate it with that negative connotation and have never right. seeked it out.
So I think
sought it out.
The bottom line is, it is the holidays, and if you would like, go ahead and bring Lindsay a fruitcake because she needs some.
I need some pies and chocolate pies and things. Okay, so wait, what's your question?
How old is the world's oldest fruitcake? It has been in the family's care for generations.
I would assume. It was last Tuesday.
Yeah. It's a week and a half old. People love fruitcake. No. And I can give you a little bit of a hint. The original baker of the fruitcake was the great grandmother of the person who is currently in possession, the current caretaker of the cake. And she baked the cake. The start of the family tradition was that she baked the cake and then died before it cooled and she could cut it. So the family, out of respect, nobody could bring themselves to cut and eat the cake. So it's just been in their care since then.
We have very different families. Because
that cake would have been gone.
Yeah, my grandma was going to see my great aunt or some sort, my mom's great aunt, I don't know, some aunt. I called her Aunt Nikki, RIP. And my grandma was going to see her on her birthday and was bringing a birthday cake to the hospital. And she died before she got there.
Right.
And so my grandma and my other aunt like ate the cake, shared the cake, and like she would want us to eat
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
The death cake.
Right. This family saved the cake.
Yeah, they're
forever
much,
and ever.
Much better than us, I guess. Okay, I'm going to say 132 years old. For some reason, when you asked this, 1886 felt like a good number.
1886 is one of those numbers that I think you always come up with.
Yeah, 1886 feels good. So that's 132 years old.
Okay.
That makes sense within the great
sure.
generations because your grandparents are, at least mine are, I don't know.
Right.
That makes sense in that timeline to me.
My grandfather was born in 1891.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean.
that's my generations are slightly off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that depends on how yeah, it could be all over the place. Like
right.
President John Tyler's
right.
grandchildren are still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, Michael, your
guess?
Michael's
been quietly doing math in the corner
for
the last 3 minutes.
That's exactly what I've been
watching
doing.
Him count on his fingers.
And unfortunately, Lindsay's guess is actually very close to mine.
Okay.
I assume I'm assuming for this kind of area, like 25 is about the time that it gets handed down.
Okay.
I mean, maybe you're married, maybe you have a kid on the way or something like that.
Sure.
That's about the time you get passed down
okay.
the fruitcake.
You become the caretaker of the cake at 25.
Exactly. And then it just kind of gets passed down every 25 years or so.
Okay.
So I went back and my math was, okay, per generation, if it was the great-great-grandmother.
Right.
Just moving down. I came up to 125
years. 125
years.
Oh, okay.
Right, 125, 132. You're both very close.
Ooh.
Lindsay is closer.
Sure.
Ooh, yeah.
The cake was originally baked in 1878.
Ooh, I was close.
Yeah, so it's 140 years old
wow.
this Christmas.
Right.
And the article I was in was about it was a 92-year-old man, Morgan Ford, who was the current caretaker of the cake.
Oh.
And he actually passed away 2 years ago.
Aww.
So the family is currently still trying to figure out who is it that is going to be the next caretaker of the cake. And
so it's
none
almost
of the
like
children,
a Supreme Court nomination.
That's
where,
exactly
or,
what it is.
Supreme Court, just
that
like, okay, you die on the bench and then.
Right, and then it goes down to the next person. So the sad part is none of the next generation really want it. It's like
sure.
a burden to them, but the grandchildren are all about it. So
what do you mean
it may
it's
a
burden? A
generation.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
Now, do you think it would skip a generation where it's just like, okay, if none of these guys want to put the grandchildren are about it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, if the guy who was the caretaker was 92, then the children are in their 70s and the grandchildren are in their 50s. So
right.
that's a responsible enough. It's not like you're giving it to an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Lean into family traditions and right. weird stuff.
Even if they're weird. Especially if they're
especially
weird.
Especially if they're
and
weird.
Get a live stream on that. Seriously.
Stick it next to the McDonald's meal.
Stick it next to the McDonald's meal. Stick it next to the oldest ham. That's a local Virginia museum, which we've talked about. Yeah. Put a live stream on it. Get it together. But that being said, we're going to wrap this episode up.
Sounds good.
we have to post it before more than five more
Where
the podcast emails go up.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being awesome. We'll be back next week with another episode. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And We Don't Know Either.
Bye.